Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Margaret McCraw, you're listening to Business Life Works, produced by HealthyLife.net, and this is the show that guides you, coaches you, mentors and teaches you to work with the harmonic matching process to align your thoughts, your emotions, and your belief system with all of your desires. Today we are talking with Karen Lund. Karen, are you with me?
Yes, I am, Margaret.
Hi, wonderful, Karen. This beautiful fall day. Karen, you are here today to talk with us about creating a compassionate workplace culture. And I want to give our listeners a little bit of information about you, but I would very much like you to also talk about your background. So Karen is an author, speaker, consultant, and entrepreneur. As a civilian responder after Hurricane Katrina and 9/11, Karen had experienced firsthand how different kinds of loss affects management, employees, businesses, individuals, and local communities. Karen currently serves as an adult facilitator at the Caring Place, which is a community-centered facility for grieving children and their families in western Pennsylvania. Karen is also the co-founder of the G Power Global Training Workshops for corporations, universities, and nonprofit groups. It's her goal to bring employees and management together around creating a compassionate culture empowerment. So, Karen, on top of this, you've written something called the G Power book series. I know it includes several books. One's The Language of Loss. Then you have one called Compassion is the Competitive Edge.
Yes.
And you have a book coming out called Loss Etiquette, correct?
Yes, that will be out next year.
Okay, wonderful. So tell us a little bit about how did you get into this whole concept of compassion and work? Most people tend to keep that separate from work, it seems, and they will bring it into oftentimes the home situation, of course, or into more of a social situation, but oftentimes it is forgotten at work. How did you learn about this and identify that the workplace really needs to bring in compassion?
Well, that's a good question, Margaret, and thank you for asking us. I started out in manufacturing, particularly in the steel industry, and I had industrial accidents weren't uncommon in the steel industry, and nor are they uncommon now, but certainly they're much more minimized than they were before. But we had an incident in our melt shop where a gentleman in the melt shop, an electric furnace melt shop floor, was decapitated, and it was I was at a meeting after that incident where the president of the company said, I don't care about production schedules for the next 2 months. It's important that this team and this group come back together again. They lost one of their members. They lost one of their buddies, and they need to figure out how they're going to come back together again. And I was so impressed with that message that he would throw away the productivity of the company because of the people that worked in the melt shop floor. And when I was writing this book, and this particular story this gentleman was sharing with me, he was actually standing right beside the person that was decapitated, and he could have been killed easily as well. And what he recounted to me was the fact that he never heard anything from our executive management or the management of the company that they were concerned about the team, that they wanted them to have some time to come together and not be pressured. And so here in this story, decades later, I'm thinking that our president was great to do that, but the message was never conveyed to the floor, to the guys on the floor. And here's the guy in the melt shop acknowledging that, yes, I was telling him, yes, in fact, the message was supposed to be passed down to the floor, but it wasn't.
Wow.
So that just impacted me on so many different levels. And then I was at the mill again. We were 45 minutes from New York City on 9/11, and I had customers there. One of them was afraid to fly, so he drove, and they were shutting down bridges, shutting down intersections and interstates, and their families were calling them. They all had young children. How are they going to get home? Or were they safe? And it was just chaos, and it was interesting to see how everybody was reacting to this. And then to go down, and I volunteered with American Red Cross, and to see this outpouring of people that had big equipment that they wanted to just donate to help clean up New York City. Psychologists who had counseled people, they were offering their counseling services and everything on down the line. And then after Katrina, Hurricane Katrina, I took a small group down. We prepared meals for about 1,100 people, and this tiny little town called Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, they lost their whole way of life. Not only had people died and people were being buried without people knowing that they had died, there were chairs up in the trees, but hello?
Yes.
Hello? They lost their doctor. They lost their doctors. They lost their, the whole town, their whole way of life. So you look at
what you're talking about, Karen, is dealing with crises, one crisis after another, and you had an opportunity to evaluate how this was handled, how this was handled by organizations, how communities handled it, how families handled it, how individuals handled these crises, right?
Yes. Exactly. And
right.
What I saw, Margaret, was that there was a big disconnect in how people choose to manage their companies. Either they choose to manage their companies and accomplish their goals as a result of their employees and acknowledging the employee, contributions, or it's a company that still makes their accomplishments and goals and directives, but it's at the expense of their employees. And I also saw, just as you just mentioned, was how these events affected individuals in the work environment and how the work environment can affect people's lives.
Right. You know, it is such an important topic because businesses are trying to juggle a lot of things, aren't they? Organizations are trying to juggle completing certain tasks or services so that there's compensation so they can pay their employees, right? Mm-hmm. So they can continue to provide benefits. And so oftentimes people think, well, compassion takes time or takes away from productivity, takes away from being able to get the job done. But that's really not true, is it?
No, it's not.
It's the opposite.
Yes, it is. And there's a gentleman by the name of Alan Miles, and he works for the Forbes Council. And he said that to be compassionate is to understand and show concern for the feeling of others. But he went on to say something that I thought was great. He said, it's empathize with how others think, feel, and experience the world. And that just, those last three words, experience the world, that's just what seems to come apart at the seams in companies and in philosophies and directives and in compassion. And he also went on to talk about the fact that a lot of people think compassion is only feminine, that it's passive, and that it's weak, and it's not any of those things. And I'm really glad to see this conversation about compassion coming up more and more and recognizing, because, you know, these guys in manufacturing, they're big old guys, you know, macho, for them to get, that's exactly what they think compassion is, and this is exactly what it is not. It's getting people together and thinking about how they interact with one another at every single level.
I'm going to step into this again. I want you to once again define compassion.
Yes. And I, as I said, I like his compassion,
his
Alan Miles' definition of compassion. It's showing concern for the feeling of others and empathizing with how others think, feel, and experience the world. So it's recognizing different people's thoughts and as I said, experiences. And I'll never forget one story about a gentleman who was a finance CFO of a finance company, and he was horrible to work with. Everybody hated him because he said no, he wouldn't approve any budget increases. And finally, after years, somebody asked him why he was like that. And what he said and shared with the group, he let himself be vulnerable. He said, I grew up homeless. I grew up hungry. And me saying no to these projects just is my way of protecting a company which I really enjoy working for. And as soon as he said that, do you see all the empathy that comes out and saying, wow, I might not agree with you, but I know that I can now voice maybe stronger how I feel about something because I understand where you're coming from.
Right. And to be able to share that, I think that's a very important point, because if we don't allow ourselves to be vulnerable in the workplace to some degree, okay, it doesn't mean we have to carry our heart on our sleeve. It doesn't mean we necessarily need to discuss our personal life stuff. People don't even need or want to hear that. However, we can at certain times in certain places be vulnerable to let down our guard and show who we really are as a human being.
Yes, and I think that's the thing that we have forgotten about is that we're humans. We have all of these business metrics now, and managers feel very comfortable spouting statistics and metrics and processes and directives and standards. But when they step back to have to ask an employee, you know, what's going on or how can I help you, there's a major disconnect with a lot of managers on how to do that, how to cross that bridge. And they think it's an infringement of somebody's personal life when it's not. I think this line, we work so much and we work so hard in our jobs, I think it's kind of blurred sometimes between work and home.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially now that people are working from home due to COVID precautions and they're managing their children who are homeschooled, there's a huge blurring, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is where some of the companies, I've seen some companies do some great things through this COVID. They were prepared for people working remotely. Now, not all jobs can work remotely and be successful, but there were companies that were totally prepared for this, and they reached out to their employees and said, we want you to be safe, we care about you. And just as much, because I've had people share these stories with me, there were the C-level executives comfortably ensconced in their offices at home, and there were people with young children at home, there were people caring for parents, elderly parents, and they were forced to go in because there were no provisions made to work from home. And we've had people do furloughs. We've had people laid off. We've had people decrease their salaries significantly. And some of it was a knee-jerk reaction. Some of it was uncertainty. But it's caused a tremendous rift between management and the employees. And I don't think management even realizes it.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's a good point. What suggestions do you have for individuals who are trying to juggle working from home and also managing their work, mm-hmm. and managing their children and managing this day-to-day everything?
Yes.
Whatever.
It's in talking with a lot of families that are doing the same, and I've got on top of it, I just heard 2 days ago a woman shared with me a story. Her mother's in her 90s, and she's in a nursing home. She hasn't seen her for 7 months, and she's able to Zoom her with her once a week. And she mm-hmm. just about broke up with me on the phone because this has been so traumatic. How long does a 92-year-old have to live? And she hasn't been able to see her for 7 months. So so that's another dynamic. You've got people in hospice that obviously can't see their loved ones. Or that's minimal, depending on where you are in the country. So what you have to do, and really what managers should be doing, and some are doing very well with this, and then some of them are just are just kind of trying to ignore it unless you bring it to their attention. And that's just the manager that they are. I'm not saying that's correct, but that's how they manage. So you really need to step back and say and talk if you're there by yourself, if you're there with another partner or a spouse. You might have your parents helping with the child care, as I'm talking to a lot of people that are. You really have to be realistic about what your schedule. And if they're scheduling meetings at a particularly rough time of the day for you because of the schooling and classes and whatever, you really need to bring that up to your manager, first of all, that, listen, this is a tough time for me. Is there any way we can make the meeting, you know, at a different time?
Right.
Also, too, is that one thing we don't do, and I never understood why we don't do this. We do it more. It's more prevalent on the West Coast than it is on the East Coast, but it's job sharing. So you're going through all of these changes with children, with the dynamics of living in a small apartment, potentially in big cities. Can you make some part-time, short-term arrangements for someone to maybe handle the mornings when your children are really, you know, into these projects at school or need help at school? Can someone else work for you? Can you do some assignments or work at night?
That's a good point.
Yeah,
Karen, I wanna interject something here. So I am in the middle of buying another house and moving, and so the mortgage lender, you know, has a lot of work to do to finalize the mortgage and the closing date. And so the mortgage lender has been available during the day, but once school started again, she had not been available, but she sent out an email right away, and I got a text message, and she said to all her clients, please be patient with me now. The kids are back in school. I'm homeschooling and working. So if I can't get back to you during the day, I will be able to get back to you in the evening.
Wonderful.
That was a very smart thing to do.
Yes.
Because once she conveyed that information to us, we knew, oh, got it. She's, you know, I'm not going to keep texting her because she's not available. She's managing her children in school, you know, homeschooling. She's trying to manage work stuff. And I knew at that point she educated all of us and communicated with us so that we knew we would hear from her late at night and that it would be okay to text or email her later in the evening. Mm-hmm. So she shifted her work schedule. Had she not done that, you know, there's a lot of pressure for her and a lot of pressure for us, you know, anybody who's in the midst of moving, to get certain things done timely. Mm-hmm. So that was just a good thing. This whole thing that you're bringing up is being able to communicate to your boss, communicate to your peers, communicate to people who report to you. And if we communicate, I think compassion, it's a call for compassion, right? A call for please hang in there with me, right?
Yeah. Yes, and I think that it's also separating managers from leaders. And I think that that differentiation is showing up more and more, is that you can manage, but who's leading? And are you able to lead? And I think, you know, her, you know, talking to your employees, just encouraging people to have a different work schedule if they need to, the job sharing, anything that you can do with your employees to keep them. Some people, and I don't think managers think about this, but people that are single, that don't have anyone at home, have felt very isolated.
Right.
And so how do you help your team who has all of these different dynamics come together and make them feel like a team, make them feel, you know, motivated to work. But I think that's when you have to have these conversations. So to me, I think managers sometimes right now, from what I'm seeing, are ensconced again at their home offices and they're thinking, boy, I wonder what's going on with this. Well, I'm going to ask so-and-so, see if he could do this project for me. Well, there's another manager that's thinking about something else, and he's asking another group to do the same, you know, to do a project. So I don't think everybody isn't communicating with how much a workload people have right now. With the addition of children, in the work in the home, in addition of parents that you're caring for. So I think you go from management to leadership, and then you also look at how can we reach out and make sure that everyone is included and that everyone isn't treated the same. You can't treat everybody the same in this situation or in any work situation.
Right. No, it's a very good point. So what else is a call for compassion, would you say, at the workplace? Certainly, you know, people when they lose somebody, a family member, a pet, or when they have someone that's ill in their family or their circle, personal circle, is a call for compassion. These are special situations that organizations have an opportunity to connect with that person, with that employee. Let's come back to this. I just realized the time. We have to take a quick segment break, Karen.
Okay.
But when we come back, I do want to talk about these very difficult situations employees go through. So
okay.
We'll be back in just a moment with more Business Life Work, speaking to Karen Lund today about compassion in the workplace. Stay tuned.
Did you know that more than 54% of Americans fight with people close to them because of stress? That people with positive social relationships recover from illness faster? And that people who have a best friend at work are 7 times more likely to be engaged in their jobs? The Relationship Code teaches us to empower ourselves in all types of relationships with the new techniques and insights of the 4-step harmonic matching process. The harmonic process integrates psychology with universal principles to help people achieve their desires. In the Relationship Code, you'll learn to create positive, self-fulfilling prophecies, communicate effectively, enhance relationships on the job, overcome everyday and long-term challenges, and develop extraordinary outcomes. Published by Career Press and available now, you can go to www.margaretmacraw.com or call 410-366-9111 to order the book. Are you interested in a board-certified coach training program specializing in the law of attraction? If so, become a board-certified life and business coach, as well as a holistic health practitioner, and help others live their dreams. If you're ready for a new and exciting career, you should visit www.tuneintolove.com to learn more about board-certified training programs specializing in the law of attraction. This could be perfect if you're one of those people that likes helping others. Do friends, family members, and colleagues come to you for advice, and are you good at helping others solve difficult problems? If so, this board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction could be just for you. Go to tuneintolove.com to find out more. You could be your own boss and working out of your own home with a very flexible schedule, in addition to the ability to make so much more money and have so much more free time. Visit www.tuneintolove.com and find out more about the board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction. Would you like to transcend patterns in your life that inhibit you from attracting true love? Begin creating strong, fulfilling relationships that are long-lasting. Margaret McCraw's book, Tune Into Love, can give you a positive start and an exciting new process for attracting the loving partner you seek. Tune Into Love will also teach you 4 essential steps for focusing your thoughts, emotions, and beliefs to create all of your desires. Learn how to sidestep the self-imposed roadblocks that hold you from fulfillment. In addition to attracting and creating a fulfilling relationship, Tune Into Love will show you how to attract better health, fulfilling careers, abundance of money, and harmony in all aspects of your life. Order your copy today at www.tuneintolove.com or call 877-366-9111 or visit the website tuneintolove.com.
Radio Your Way. HealthyLife.net.
This is Margaret McCraw, host of Business Life Works. We are here today talking with Karen Lund, an author, speaker, consultant, and entrepreneur. And Karen, before we get back into our discussion, I do want to take our listeners to your website, which is www.g-powerglobal.com. Again, G, like in good, hyphen, the word power, global.com. What will our listeners find in your website when they go to your website? What are they going to see? Will they see training programs, or tell us about that? Your books?
Yes. I've got the books on the website. Compassion is the Competitive Edge, and the Language of Loss is going to be reintroduced this month. Loss Etiquette will be coming on stream next year, and I'm doing a special book called Women in Steel, Women of Steel. It's a living history, which I'm very excited about. But I've also just launched this week, it's called Your Journey Through the Islands of Grief and Loss, and it's an online program. It was created for individuals and employee groups to help deal with life events and loss on a personalized basis. So this would be something that you could provide for your employees. They don't need to take company time to do it, but the program includes 12 sessions which focus around different aspects of loss and encourages the listeners to confront the issues that they are having in relation to their own personal journeys. And they can journal within the script. There's a PDF, but it allows them to kind of track their own journeys. And when somebody can see maybe they're angry 1 month and the next month they go and look back at their comments and they see that they're not so angry, that's a huge shift, because everybody thinks they're just going to stay in this sad place or in this hard place that they're in. And to see a shift and acknowledge that, wow, today I'm not so sad, is a huge,
wonderful.
Huge,
that sounds
jump.
Really good. Have you developed this based on your work with your with the organizations?
No, I haven't. It was really created as a result of a lot of experiences that people shared with me over a period of time. So we deal with anger and loss and guilt and denial, change, which everybody certainly has experienced more than enough of this year, and self-care, which is something that people don't spend enough time on.
So what if it's just an individual who's not, they're not going through their organization to take your training? Is that possible?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And there's a PDF if somebody doesn't feel comfortable writing within the program. There's a PDF that they can download each of the sessions and keep track of their notes that way.
Sounds great. That sounds wonderful. Okay.
Very excited about it.
Yeah. What learning platform are you using for that?
What learning platform am I using for that?
Is it like Blackboard or Digital Chalk or a particular online platform that you use, technology?
No, it's not. It's really just a session where you can go in and it happens on an island, and getting to the destination to deal with the issue is as important as the issue itself. So what I do is allow people to kind of get settled in, relax a little bit, and then we start getting to the issues of the day. Like if it's around anger, what are you angry about right now? So it's really more assist. It's a very simple program of questions that people can address. How people can address their particular issues with through questions, and then lets them step back to analyze where they are and how they want to go forward.
Got it. It sounds wonderful. So, again, that's your website. We'll give that in just a few minutes again in our next segment. But they can go to your website. They can
look
you up.
And purchase it individually, too.
Yeah, purchase it individually. So, again, that's d-powerglobal.com.
Right.
Let's come back to the question I had before the break, and that was any suggestions you have in terms of how businesses can support employees who are dealing with either themselves or their family members who have gotten sick, have gone through maybe surgery, have even those employees who have lost family members who have died.
Mm-hmm. And you also mentioned the animals, too, because animals are very important through this whole thing. Yes, there are a lot of ways that companies can do, but I think the one thing, and this again goes around this compassionate workplace culture, is you've got to have some uniformity within your management of how you deal with issues around loss, particularly. Is that you've got some managers that will just say, hey, take any time you want to, just tell me where you're going to be, if you're going to be available, or if I need to get a hold of you, if not, let me know. And then you've got other managers that just don't even want to acknowledge it. They don't want it. They're not going to approve any other time. They're just not going to acknowledge it. So as part of this compassion, implementing this this compassion into your workplace culture, there's really an understanding that you're going to have a consensus of opinion of how you deal with issues like this. And it really even dives down deeper with any kind of decision-making process that you're going to have. But in this particular case, you've got some people that you know, I can't quite understand how people will give, you know, are off sometime anywhere from 2 weeks to 4 months to have a baby, and they're given 3 to 5 days to handle a death.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's really hard for me to understand. Plus, you have in these dynamics, you've got people dying, and there's been no closure. They haven't been able to get in to see them. Mm-hmm. So you've got this guilt, Margaret, and these heavy thoughts, and which is why I'm pleased about the online program, because it gives somebody a place to just go with those thoughts if they don't feel comfortable reaching out to someone and saying, okay, what are my thoughts? What am I feeling? And what am I going to do going forward? How am I going to move through this? And so I think that there needs to be a consensus of opinion of how to do this, and that you can't just say that I know Sarah over there, you know, she's very open to anything that's going on, but Jill just doesn't want to hear any of it, you know. So you really need that consensus of opinion, especially in this. And I'm hoping that what happens here and some of these processes and ideas and ways to deal with some of these issues carry over after COVID, so that we can start to recognize these issues for what they are, and
I think that's true, Karen. I think that is going to happen. I really believe so. Even the whole thing of people working from home, I think there's going to be more flexibility with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
That in the past we might have said, well, that's not possible, that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be here in the office. But really, I think that everybody has had to do such a turnaround and a shift in their thinking, and to learn to accommodate the current situation with, you know, homeschooling, or with, you know, people even having family members who might have gotten sick, carry over. I really do. Some of this, anyway,
mm-hmm.
will carry.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be one of the, or some of the gifts of the whole pandemic.
Yeah.
But this is great. We're going to come back in just a moment. We do need to take a segment break. We're going to come back and talk more about the specifics of creating a compassionate workplace.
Okay.
Here with Karen Lund today. We'll be back in a moment.
Are you interested in a board-certified coach training program specializing in the law of attraction? If so, become a board-certified life and business coach, as well as a holistic health practitioner, and help others live their dreams. If you're ready for a new and exciting career, you should visit www.tuneintolove.com to learn more about board-certified training programs specializing in the law of attraction. This could be perfect if you're one of those people that likes helping others. Do friends, family members, and colleagues come to you for advice? And are you good at helping others solve difficult problems? If so, this board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction could be just for you. Go to tuneintolove.com to find out more. You could be your own boss and working out of your own home with a very flexible schedule, in addition to the ability to make so much more money and have so much more free time. Visit www.tuneintolove.com and find out more about the board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer of webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, the same technology is available to you. They have the best Earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. earthchannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to earthchannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
This is Margaret McCaw, host of Business Life Works. We are here today talking with Karen Lund, who's an author, speaker, consultant, and entrepreneur. Karen's website is g-powerglobal.com. And Karen, just to recap quickly, you were telling us about your books are on the website, as well as some incredible training that you have for organizations and individuals that they can sign up for the training programs. Is there anything else you want to bring to their attention about your website?
No, other than we'd be glad to have a conversation with anyone, particularly companies that would like to step back and evaluate how they're looking at their culture and how they could possibly impact their productivity and their profitability by being more compassionate in the workplace.
Great. So let's get into the nuts and bolts. If an organization calls you and says, you know, I do want to create a more compassionate workplace culture. We've had a fear-based culture, let's say, and we want to do a shift. What's the first couple things you would suggest they do?
Yeah, I love how you referenced the fear-based culture because we know that that's very prevalent. One thing, this has to come from the top down. And the approach is layered. This is a layered process, and it's not something that is accomplished overnight or in a month or 2 months, because it's a conscious retraining and rethinking of how we interact with one another at every level and in every department with every decision. So obviously, when you look at that vertical, that's a big shift. So really, it has to come from the CEO, and if it's a dramatic shift, everybody has to know that this is how it's going to be from now on, and it's going to be long term. And a lot of CEOs and managers will jump in and they'll just try that. Well, let's do the quick fix today or this month or for the quarter or for this year, and at the end of the year or the quarter, it's been long gone or long forgotten. So your managers have to understand your why. And believe it or not, you're going to get some feedback from managers and C-level managers particularly, because as comfortable, as I mentioned before, as they are spitting out numbers and statistics and processes and industry projections, they are not comfortable being empathetic or even know how to react to the reports when it's personal. And there's something that they have to do and they have to deal with. So you need to the organization needs to take their time to put their arms around this. And because some of the behaviors are so unconscious that you don't think about how it impacts an employee or a coworker or the overall company.
That's a good point.
And you might have, because it's a dramatic shift, you're going to have a lot of suspicion. And I read somewhere where you can have 100% change, but only 10% of it's going to be recognized by your employees. So you see how tremendous that shift has to be and how obvious it has to be in order for it to be recognized.
Well, I think this is huge, really, if you think about the tell me a little bit, as I'm thinking through this, I'm thinking about time. What's the time period that you would say it takes, Karen, to shift a culture?
I think it depends on how an organization is going to wrap their arms around this. That's what I've seen, is that if you don't get the buy-in from your managers and they don't understand the why from the CEO, then it's going to be some managers who are probably already a little bit more proficient with being compassionate to begin with are going to kind of guide and go in that direction maybe more naturally. Other people are going to pretty much stay the same as what they are, and I think you have to look at different fields too. You look at manufacturing, very traditional. You look at other industries, they're a little bit more involved. So it depends on the industry and how much they want to commit to this. But I look at like, say, for example, a meeting. Let's just take a meeting. Because, when you take a look at how this is going to dive down. You've got meetings. You look at interaction with employees, how to handle life events and impacts. You have processes in companies. You've got contingency plans, decision-making, which is a big one, and ethics and moral compass. So you've got a lot of areas in a company to make these changes. But let's just start with a meeting. So you set up a meeting. Is there an agenda? You know, and what's the time of the meeting? Is it conflicting with anybody's schedule? So these are just basic questions, but you can ask how everybody is doing, and one of and look at the environments of the people that are. If you're in a Zoom call, look at the environment. Do you have somebody that seems to have a lot of chaos behind them? If they do, something, maybe this isn't the right time, maybe they're having a bad day, or maybe you really need to talk to them about their environment and what they can do to improve it or to help themselves and help you work with them. And do you ask for input? How many managers seem to think that they have to have all the answers these days, and they've forgotten to ask, you know, what do you think?
I think so many are afraid that they're going to get the diverse opinions, and then they're going to have to spend a lot of time sifting through. In my own work as a consultant, that's what I see. You know, they're concerned they're going to have to sift through all those opinions and process things, and not everybody's comfortable with processing, are they?
Nope, not at all. Not at all.
And they have to have the skill to deal with processing differences of opinion.
So now
you go back and they're in a situation where they've been compassionate and they ask how people were, but people start being honest and you have a manager who doesn't know what to do with that honesty. So really, in everything you're saying, it's not only teaching them to ask the right questions and to engage with their employees, but now they have to know what to do with people's feelings, right? Or they're really uncomfortable, and then what they do is they step back and they ignore that somebody said, I'm frustrated, I'm overwhelmed, I'm stressed, I'm anxious about managing my kids and managing my work, or so they're not really capable of dealing with all those issues. We're going to come back to this because this is a really good point, because there's so much effort involved with changing the culture. Let's take a quick segment break. We're going to come back for our last segment, and we'll talk a little bit more about this, because I know you have ideas, Jennifer. Jennifer, listen to me. You have ideas on this, Karen, to move things forward and to help these organizations deal with emotion, right?
Because
that's what you're talking about. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment for the last segment of Business Life Works.
Are you interested in a board-certified coach training program specializing in the law of attraction? If so, become a board-certified life and business coach, as well as a holistic health practitioner, and help others live their dreams. If you're ready for a new and exciting career, you should visit www.tuneintolove.com to learn more about board-certified training programs specializing in the law of attraction. This could be perfect if you're one of those people that likes helping others. Do friends, family members, and colleagues come to you for advice? And are you good at helping others solve difficult problems? If so, this board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction could be just for you. Go to tuneintolove.com to find out more. You could be your own boss and working out of your own home with a very flexible schedule, in addition to the ability to make so much more money and have so much more free time. Visit www.tuneintolove.com and find out more about the board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer of webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. earthchannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to earthchannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Would you like to transcend patterns in your life that inhibit you from attracting true love? Begin creating strong, fulfilling relationships that are long-lasting. Margaret McCraw's book, Tune Into Love, can give you a positive start and an exciting new process for attracting the loving partner you seek. Tune Into Love will also teach you four essential steps for focusing your thoughts, emotions, and beliefs to create all of your desires. Learn how to sidestep the self-imposed roadblocks that hold you from fulfillment. In addition to attracting and creating a fulfilling relationship, Tune Into Love will show you how to attract better health, fulfilling careers, abundance of money, and harmony in all aspects of your life. Order your copy today at www.tuneintolove.com or call 877-366-9111 or visit the website tuneintolove.com.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
This is Margaret McCraw, host of Business Life Works. We are here talking with Karen Lund today about how to move a business and organization into compassion, into creating a compassionate workplace culture. And you've given us, Karen, so many good ideas. Before the segment break, we were just talking about kind of helping an organization, once they're doing certain things, actually getting that leadership team to the place that they can deal with emotions of all kinds. Because when you open it up to being more compassionate, that's really what you're doing, is you're teaching emotional intelligence, aren't you? You're
yes.
giving them the skill set for emotional intelligence, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, even when you go to open a meeting, and people don't really think about this, but do you, if the first question out of everybody's, and I'm in, you know, my background was manufacturing, first question out of every, well, how, what did you think about the game on Sunday? What did you think about the baseball game, the hockey game, the basketball game? And you know, you're automatically excluding people in the meeting if they're not into that. Now, if it's a playoff, I understand. But but think about how you automatically want to make sure that everybody is included from the first minute that you start the meeting till the end of it. And and again, that translates into other conversations that you're going to have with suppliers, with customers, with vendors, and everybody else. And something else is one of the things is, how do you handle different opinions? And we've all been in meetings where people handle things differently. Do they listen? Do they try to understand? Or they just kind of tolerate the opinion? And I remember I used to work with somebody, and he could not stand if somebody presented something contrary to his opinion. And he would go to the ends of the earth to make sure he proved that person wrong. And I saw him do it time and time again. And he alienated the people that he wanted and needed to work with. But in his mind, he was right, and that's all that counted. So that's one area. And also, you know, we've also worked with people that are dismissive. You know, you come in and you've been working on something, you're so excited about something, maybe something great has happened, and you happen to be there and you want to share it in the meeting, and that's good job. And it's like, oh wow. So do you have managers that take credit, or other people, coworkers, that take credit for your work or for the team's work? That's a big issue. And
that is a good point. But you also brought up this whole thing of feeling valued. And I think there are companies struggling with helping their employees feel valued with remote working. Do you have some specific suggestions about that?
About being dismissive, I'm sorry.
About letting employees, helping employees feel valued when they're working remotely.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I think that's when you have to have the team wins. you have to have participation, and you have people in meetings that sometimes don't talk very much, but when you have a Zoom environment, you've got to have people that are communicating, even if it's challenging for them. Help them. You might need to help somebody learn how to communicate within a group meeting in a Zoom meeting, but you have to make sure that everybody understands that their work is important, that they are important, that what they're doing and contributing to the company is important. And you can do this within a Zoom meeting or without. But I think particularly with people that are isolated or frustrated or overwhelmed, they're not hearing a lot of positive things right now. What they're hearing in the news is scary. If they're in a big city, it might be scary if there's a lot of violence. So get it, the meeting agenda should include, like, what were the wins last week for each of you? What was a win for each of you? Or where were you struggling? Does anybody have anything constructive to say when someone's struggling? So that it's not a look what I did versus look what you did, or look what you didn't do and I did. But it's right. Coming together and recognizing that everyone needs something a little bit different, even in a Zoom in working remotely in that atmosphere.
Right. And you know, even just the statement of, or the question of, what's the high point of your day, gets people engaged in talking about something positive.
Yeah.
It might be personal, it might be professional, mm-hmm. but that's engaging, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It gives you an opportunity
yes.
to appreciate them and encourage them and help them feel valued.
Yeah. I was working with a company. What they've been doing is doing lunch boxes, personalized lunch boxes, and they're sending them to everybody prior to their meeting. And they'll have fun things in them, something that might remind them when they were younger, and just really creative. And everybody, no one can open it until they have the meeting start. So you can hear everybody rumbling through the box and go, oh, well, I remember these. So something like that, just remember, because it's hard to have a lunch, depending on, again, what state you're in. So at least there's something that they're getting in the mail, which going to get the mail for some people is a big event anymore these days.
Right. That's a good point, isn't it? So with the time we have left,
yes.
If a company said to you, hey, Karen, I'm thinking of bringing you on, I think this is an important topic, can you just kind of outline for me the steps that we're going to have to take together to more compassionate? And this is really, you got to give me like in 30 seconds, quickly, what would
Okay, first of all, the CEO's got to sign on big time. He's got to convince his managers that of his why. And when you do that, then you start to drill down and decide and articulate what areas are you going to start with. Are you going to start with meetings? That's a good place to start. Then you start to talk and work with connections and how are you interacting with employees. Second, how are you handling decision making? So those three things right up top are things that you can start to take a look at, drill down, develop your process, and we have those processes, and then start this interaction with your employees, and you will see
great.
A change.
Yes. Let me send our listeners. We have to wrap up. I'm going to wrap up. The final wrap up will be just for a moment, but let me say goodbye to Karen. Karen, I'm going to take our listeners to your website again, www.g-powerglobal.com. Again, g-powerglobal.com. I want to thank you for being on the show. Go to Karen's website, learn more about her work, her training, and her books. Thank you so much for the important work you're doing, Karen. Really appreciate you being here today.
Well, thank you, Margaret, for having me, and I'd like to thank your listeners as well. This has been great, and I really appreciate your comments today
as well. Take care, and stay okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Would you like to transcend patterns in your life that inhibit you from attracting true love? Begin creating strong, fulfilling relationships that are long-lasting. Margaret McCraw's book, Tune Into Love, can give you a positive start and an exciting new process for attracting the loving partner you seek. Tune Into Love will also teach you four essential steps for focusing your thoughts, emotions, and beliefs to create all of your desires. Learn how to sidestep the self-imposed roadblocks that hold you from fulfillment. In addition to attracting and creating a fulfilling relationship, Tune Into Love will show you how to attract better health, fulfilling careers, abundance of money, and harmony in all aspects of your life. Order your copy today at www.tuneintolove.com or call 877-366-9111 or visit the website tuneintolove.com.
BiRegion.net is the largest healing arts directory on the web. Our visitors are looking for holistic practitioners, schools, events, healing services, and products. Are you in healing arts? Become a member of BiRegion.net and get the best advertising values. You can increase your client base and your traffic. If you have a website, we can bring you more traffic. Want a website? Get a beautiful web display for only $4 a month. Become a member now. Mention HealthyLife.net and get 6 months free. Visit www.BiRegion.net or call 828-232-0016.
TuneIntoLove.com is the website to connect to Margaret McCraw for training, consultations, and speaking engagements. At TuneIntoLove.com, you can download free relationship tips, purchase books and other enlightening gifts, and find out about the mandala, designed to focus on raising your vibration to bring about your desires. You can retain Margaret to be your keynote speaker or workshop leader, counselor training and certification, as well as consultations to organizations. For more information, call 877-366-9111 or visit TuneIntoLove.com.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
We're wrapping up our show today talking about creating a more compassionate workplace. For you as an individual, if you are somebody who is compassionate, if you're somebody who understands how to connect with people, you have life skills that help people deal with crises and manage their situations, you might want to consider being a life coach. And if that is the case, I would encourage you to get in touch with me directly to learn about our continuing education and our certification training programs to become a master life coach, a corporate life coach, a life spiritual mentor, a relationship consultant, and a health and wellness practitioner. All of these training programs are based on my two books, Tune Into Love and The Relationship Code, where you learn a four-step process, the harmonic matching process, to align your thoughts, your emotions, and your belief systems to line up with your desires. If you are interested in this topic and want to learn more about it, get in touch with me. You can call area code 410-929-9302. Again, 410-929-9302. Or just go to my website at bhcld.com. We will be in touch with you for another show in a month, and we look forward to talking to you again. Have a great day. Bye-bye.